Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh-cut fries and fresh-squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station. Love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we got a good one going, gang. Two in the books, one to go. 301 and change in your Thursday afternoon radio playlist. It's Travis Johnson and Joel Blank bringing it home for the final hour at 3:30. We will be joined by the NFL Network's Adam Rank. He will talk about the Texans, the Patriots, the preview, as well as the overview of what he sees long-term this season for your red, white, and blue down on Kirby. So we have that going for us, which is nice. We've talked about a lot of things already. We've got some great text for a change, some good tweets, as always, and some decent calls. So, you know, for the most part, we're pretty pleased. Hope you are, too. We were talking about a lot of things, and I threw a question out for you guys that a little bit disturbing, but a little bit. Let me just ask you this. If Jeff Spicoli, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, most people through most generations know that. Even Nick probably knows who Jeff Spicoli is. But if Jeff Spicoli just walked up and hit you in the face with a pie, what'd you do?
Beat the dog you know what out of him.
Now, we talked about this, though. We talked about it at the Little League game yesterday. The violence
thing.
You're
not finna hit me in the face with no object, pie. I don't care, especially if I don't know you. It's going to be a problem. That's like what I remember. I used to wear a fur coat like the cold weather games. Just wait.
Not a letter jacket?
No. Waiting. Like when we went to Green Bay, I had that fur on ready to roll.
Ever worn it since?
I've worn it a couple times. Mm. I wore it in New York for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But, you know, I was just waiting on that day. One of the PETA people would come up to me and throw paint on me because I was about to wear somebody's behind. I said, man, if you mess up my coat, it's going to be a problem.
Right, Nick?
Depends on the guy's size, man.
He needs that Travis Johnson workout program.
If Trav came hit me with a pie, I'm back.
Dang, I don't care. I don't care if King Kong Bundy hit me with a pie.
But if you're about my size, 140, 150, bring it.
He said 140. That's how much you weigh?
Well, I'm 170. You got to be smaller.
Oh, jeez.
I'm a buck 70, man. I'm a small buck 70.
Man, I had a dog
so
bigger than you.
We all remember Kevin Johnson as the guy that was an all-star type point guard for the Phoenix Suns, got that one big dunk over Dream when he went baseline. And I think a lot of you are familiar with the fact that he's now the mayor of Sacramento, California. He was instrumental in getting the Kings a new arena.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, he's had a local farm-to-table function. You familiar with those?
Farm-to-table.
That's what we'll call it.
It speaks for itself.
Sure. Sources in attendance have told the newspaper that during the meal, a protest ran and a protester then ran at the mayor, Kevin Johnson, and threw a store-bought pie in his face. If it was homemade, would you have a different opinion of what happened?
No.
I'm just saying, why would you put store-bought in there? But anyway, a different witness said that the pie had whipped cream as topping. Again, I don't care, but that prompted the mayor to tackle the protester, punch him in the face repeatedly more than a half dozen times, and he landed 5 to 10 blows, as one witness described it. The Spicoli-looking character was beaten to a bloody pulp.
That's how it's supposed to be. Because from
but
what
you're
I,
a
from,
mayor and you can throw down?
From what I read, it was more of a, it wasn't a throw the pie in your face like Double Dare from Mr. Summers is the host. It was a smash in his face slash punch at the same time when he mashed him with it. And listen, if anybody's ever been in a fight, regardless if it was a pie or not, if you mush somebody or you slap somebody, it's almost worse than getting punched in the mouth.
Mayoral spokeswoman Crystal Strait said the mayor was talking to dinner guests when the man approached from the side, grabbed him by the arm, yanked him off balance, slammed a pie into his face.
That's a punch.
He brought the pie with him, and he pulled it out of a bag. A brief scuffle ensued. It was a blur. Online reports suggest the mayor hit back. Strait confirmed it was true. She said Johnson didn't realize he was being hit with a pie. He felt he was being punched in the face, Let me be clear. The mayor was assaulted tonight. He is home with his family. The whole thing, shocking.
Yeah, it should have been. Where was security?
It's a great question, especially with all that's going on today in the world and with all kinds of threats.
No question. Everybody fired. He gone.
Yeah, no doubt. That's, I mean, seriously, when you look like some of the people that Trump goes through and blows through in terms of his staff members in this campaign, definitely someone's losing a job or two over that
Man,
one. Because what was it? It wasn't even his security team at one point during the election. It was his PR guy that had actually thrown like a kind of a chicken-winged body block into a female reporter at one of the speaking engagements.
The stuff that they got going on.
And you know where he is? He gone.
He gone. But I don't know.
He gone. Hey, better late than never. Thanks for playing, Nick. But, you know, we've been covering a lot of ground today. And it's time to get down to brass tacks because we've got about an hour. We've got Adam Rank joining us from the NFL Network at the bottom of the hour so we can get into it even further. But, Trap, big game tonight. We already covered the Astros. We know the biggest game on everybody's mind is the Texans and the New England Patriots. By the way, Keenan McCardell was going to join us today, but instead Keenan will join us tomorrow to kind of recap the game.
He's going
on. But also because he's going to get him some lemonade. That cool, refreshing drink.
Hey, that lemonade.
He's
that
going cool, to see Bebe at NRG.
Hey, so I knew I liked you, Joe. See? That was a nice plug for what's the name of that stand up?
Eddie Murphy Delirious.
Yeah,
lemonade.
That cool, refreshing.
We're gonna win this race. Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Okay, so. Keenan will give us a review of the Beyonce concert. He's promised me he's taping the game, and he will be ready to talk about it tomorrow. So if you have questions, comments, and want to kick it around with the offense and the defense in our huddle, Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardell tomorrow. As for tonight, I did want to get to the game itself. I want to know for things you're looking for, position groups. What are you watching most close? Everybody's going to watch the quarterback for the Patriots. But what are you most concerned with, and what are you watching and paying most attention to in that game tonight?
Well, concerns, of course, would be how we attack the quarterback, because I want to make sure that, you know, being that they only have 1.5 QBs, I want to see us really get after him. I think Rack really gets after him with the blitzes and the fire zones, and really trying to get Jacoby Brissett, who is a, you know, in all intents, he's a rookie. I mean, he's not even 3 games into his rookie year. And I think you throw the book at him. You throw everything in the kitchen sink. You get every blitz you've ever had going in since OTAs and get it going. I think that's really to see how well trained he is. I think when you look at it, you say, is Will Fuller, how many passes is he gonna drop tonight? Is he gonna catch everything?
Or bobble
and get hit in the mouth by a guy like McCourty who'll be sitting on the hash and waiting on him to bobble the pass. I look at that on offense, and then I say, can our offensive line block for Lamar Miller so he can get his game going, so he can get the running game going? What is, you know, being that Brock Osweiler now is the man, and this really about to be, I think, did he play against the Patriots last year? Did he actually play in the game against them last year when he was with
I think that was Peyton's game.
That's Peyton's game. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. So to be actually for the first time get to see Belichick, a Belichick coach defense. Really, you know, it's not coached by him directly, but I'm just saying a Belichick coach team, his defense, to see what he does against some of those schemes. It's gonna be a great chess match between student and teacher when it comes to Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick, and see how they have prepared each of their teams. That's what I'm really looking forward to seeing.
I'm looking forward to seeing if Vince Wilfork gets 2 sacks tonight, Nick.
Oh, he will.
Because I know that one guy in particular who was feeling pretty good about himself after predicting Jadeveon Clowney would be using 5 technique, putting a hand in the ground and going down to the D-line, felt so confident that he is on record. He has put it on tape, which we have, which you can hear on our podcast. My prestigious and esteemed colleague said Vince Wilfork, 2 sacks tonight for your Houston Texans. Agree, disagree, over, under. We'll hear from you. We'll hear from a lot more when we get back. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it first. No, I don't think so.
Joel Blake, Travis Johnson.
Having a pretty good darn show, if I do say so myself. Getting in depth on a lot of issues. And we were talking about the Texans. And I reminded folks that you made a prediction. You said, my man Vince Wilfork.
Two sacks.
Not two snacks.
Two sacks.
Right?
Two sacks, which also three led tackles us, for loss.
So what if he does, Nick? So if Trav's right, what happens?
Trav looks amazing.
I mean, what if he's not? What if he doesn't?
I already look amazing.
What if he doesn't? Because we already know that he's already said he has no problem showing up in just overalls, no shirt underneath.
Facebook Live.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's or cool. At least pictures. Because you know what? The t-shirt was a good idea.
Yeah.
If we could get all, and we have to go back on the podcast and get the exact quotes, because I came up with a good one for the back too.
But you did.
Seriously, if we get all that together and we give the sales department something to do around here, and they could put that together or get a sponsor to do it for us. Like, you know, we've got people that bring t-shirts and stuff in. Why we haven't gotten any, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that when they make these t-shirts, they should make one for Trav.
They should.
Yeah. And if we could get with him in the coveralls, I think that would be an outstanding t-shirt that most people would desire and maybe even hold it as ransom to come on our show. I can see that happening in the future. I really can.
The question is he really going to come up in studio in the coveralls?
Do you own coveralls?
I own hunting coveralls.
That's not what I mean. But I mean, I'm not talking about the Bell Bib DeVoe ones, the shorts.
No. You're talking about full. I don't own any overalls, regular ones, like jean ones.
Yeah.
But the only ones I have is like the hunting bib, like the entire.
Right.
It looks the same. It's just camouflaged up.
Okay. Because otherwise I was going to say, I know you've got the easy tag for like the outdoor store.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much sure that if you don't have them, you could probably acquire them rather easily.
Of course. And you know what? I need to correct myself. Before the commercial, I said that I couldn't remember if Brock played against New England last year, and which he did.
Week 12.
The game was in overtime. The game went to overtime. The final score was 24-30. Denver. Brock went 23 for 42, 270 yards, touchdown and an interception. But, you know, CJ Anderson was the big story.
Yep.
That was the game, I think, was it the game where he ran that long touchdown?
15 rushes, 113 yards,
exactly.
Two touchdowns.
Yep. He was the story. And then Emmanuel Sanders had six catches for 113 yards as well. So
that was the first loss for New England.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the Broncos were 10-2 after that win. By the way, could you say the score of that game one more time?
24-30.
See, Cardinal sin and rule break number one for wannabe broadcaster. You always say the team with more points first.
Who made that rule?
So it would be
up?
30-24 Broncos.
It's kind of an unwritten rule, though, isn't it?
It is.
Is it unwritten?
Well, but it's understood. See, well, Nick, it doesn't matter if it's on paper or not, as long as it's understood. Unwritten or written, a rule is a rule.
I always do score from left to right, visitors to home team.
Okay.
So never the winner. I don't care who won. I just always just said.
But when you're doing it at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
With added meaning, the unwritten rule is you always say the team with more first.
Okay.
Okay. Just like when you look and everybody says, who's the home team? You always know that when listed, the bottom team is always the home team.
Or the second team.
I'm just throwing out knowledge. I'm trying to give you a little, you know, help here and there when I can. We've had Dr. Gray?
That's what it looks like. I can't see what he wants to talk about.
Dr. Gray was on, then he was off. He was in, then he was out. Dr. Gray, I don't know how frequently you listen, but all we ask is that the hashtag don't be a Richard comes into play, because we had a guy named Richard do this to us and then did not bring it. But we expect that you will bring it with those two letters in that period before your name. Dr. Gray, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? I love the show, man. I really like it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You want to talk about the mayor of Sacramento?
Yeah, man, I got to make a correction for you, Joel. I mean, okay. let's not get it twisted now. Dream was the late weak side help on that dunk. He didn't dunk on Dream. He was the late weak side help. Because if he was on time,
if you're the late weak side help,
you get dunked on.
If you're the late weak side help, you still get dunked on.
You're posterized. That's the thing. That's why you see so many guys dock, seriously. And I feel you. But coming from the weak side, that's the guy that's going to get posterized more than anybody. And all people remember is the video. They don't remember, and I appreciate it because you have the knowledge of the game to break it down, but you're absolutely right that Dream came from the weak side when he was guarding the paint. But at the same time, you cannot deny that the highlight shows – Dream is right there at the rim meeting him in the grill, and Kevin Johnson was able to punish the 10. That's what the video shows, right?
Yes, correct. You're right. He put it down in the hole. You're right. But like I said, if he was on time, he would have put it in the fourth row.
Yeah, but ifs, buts, candies, nuts. But you're absolutely right. I mean, because I thought you were going to say like I was absolutely wrong, but I totally agree with you. And you know what? And I hated seeing it. And I also remember a time that Dream went from mid-court and closed ground in about 2.5 steps and caught KJ at the rim for one of his two unbelievable come-from-behind blocks, the other one on Rod Strickland at the Summit. So I know that, you know, one dunk does not make a career. I just know that that indelible image of Kevin Johnson dunking on my man Dream hurt.
Yeah, I've been dunked on twice.
Kind of like your two fights, or your two times a year you get mad?
No, but I was actually dunked on twice. Like, you know, that getting dunked on twice, I guess it. Some people have had a few more. I mean, I guess get mad a little bit more. But that's a different subject. But, I mean, Baron Davis called me and Shea Cotton called me.
So at least you got two names out of the deal.
Yeah, like those two got me as a freshman in high school.
And you know what the bad thing about that is? You actually probably had two more ACLs than Baron Davis.
No, I've never had any ACLs, knock on wood.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I had two more at the time. At the time, he was good. At the time, he still jumped out of the gym.
Oh, so he still jumped out of the gym without ACLs. But
no, this was Baron's senior year in high school at Crossroads.
Nick, you have to understand that Baron Davis essentially is without ACLs.
Yeah, basically right now. He's like Hines Ward.
That's terrible. I would hate to. But how did you go through a whole career without ever taking your ACL? That's pretty impressive. Or is that common?
No, I tore some other stuff, and I still got to get both of them fixed. I think I even got to get the left one replaced. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, Doc, I'm looking at the video as we speak. By the way, there is no denying the fact that Mr. Olajuwon got
yammed on.
He got yoked. That was flat nasty.
It's almost like saying that Sean Kemp didn't dunk on everybody. He felt like dunking on
while he touched his back heel on his way to the rim.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
the Rain Man.
Well, he's a lot more than that too. You can just call him Big Daddy in a lot of ways. That would fit the moniker in a lot of ways. But hey, you know what? We did what we like to do, and you guys love it. We got a little NBA in there.
Do you see that?
A little old
NBA too.
Seamlessly, and thanks, Doc. We appreciate that. Don't be a stranger, as we like to say for all the good callers. You got it in. A little, nothing beats a little subtle NBA. That's fantastic. By the way, for those of you scoring at home, and I know you're not, the Rockets Media Day is tomorrow because they are getting ready to start training camp under Mike D'Antoni, getting ready to go to China for a couple of preseason games. And we've got a little Rockets news that, you know what, Nick? Here's the other thing I need you to do. I need you to get like real serious breaking news music. Because that's going to be your key.
Like a cheesy one from like an old old television station? Yeah, or like a modern one?
What was it?
Or like old radio. Ding, ding, ding.
Or
No, it used to be. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Like the Ted Koppel kind of thing. Like,
that's a solid bit.
Breaking news with Nick Sciarra. Nick from our studio is scanning the wire to bring you the latest and greatest and most updated information in sports, including a trade between your Houston Rockets and I believe my hometown.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
That is my hometown.
For Tyler Ennis, according to The Vertical.
Say it one more time.
Tyler Ennis.
Is going from Milwaukee.
To the Rockets for Michael Beasley.
For Michael Beasley. Ooh, baby. And I'm just going to tell you right off the top, that's not a good move. Michael Beasley was a horse last year ever since when they got him from China. Michael Beasley not only can play, but he proved he could play in Houston in a Rockets uniform in clutch time, and even in the playoffs, play well. Michael Beasley, I guess, evidently wasn't a Mike D'Antoni type guy.
Yeah.
But I don't like that move.
Me neither. I mean, Michael Beasley, he's to me like J.R. Smith was when he went everywhere else but Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. When he was like, with the Knicks.
When he was with the Knicks, and he was everybody. Like, everybody's like, man, get this problem child out of here. But he gets to Cleveland, and he plays phenomenal ball. Michael Beasley now here has grown up. It took him going to China grow up a little bit, you know. And now all of a sudden, you get a different guy. I wouldn't have gave him up either.
When does Tyler Ennis get to get in on the camp Kumbaya with James Harden, or is it too late? He's on his way. Training camp begins, I believe, Saturday or Sunday. Media day tomorrow. No more Michael Beasley. Welcome Tyler Ennis. Hashtag Pursuit of the Eight. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome to our version of Rock the Mic.
I'm talking about how she can make it right.
He still can't get the lyrics right. He still can't get the lyrics right, but Trav, really appreciating Nick for the first time since he started here. Breaking down a little love and tenderness. As we welcome you back with love and tenderness to the final half hour of the Point Blank Trap Shooting Thursday afternoon in Houston, Texas, getting ready for the big show, the big game between the Houston, Texas and the New England Patriots. We had talked about some of the keys. I really didn't say a whole lot about my keys overall, but you know, the things that I said to you that I want to see is I want to see how the Texans are prepared for and adapt to the unknown.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to be uncomfortable in a few situations where whether he does bring Edelman in to quarterback or he does run some form of an option.
Yeah.
He's got to be ready for that. There's not a whole lot of tape on Brissett, right?
Yeah, not in the pro level.
Right. You got and again translating it to the Patriots scheme.
Yeah.
And then like I said, I want to see what Belichick does try and take away from the Texans, and I've already gone on several occasions on the record as saying, I think he's going to try and load the box and take away the run, try to neutralize Miller and make Osweiler beat them and say, are you going to be the guy that played in week one? Are you going to be the guy that played in week two? And then if they double-team DeAndre Hopkins, as you have said, then what does that do for a guy like Will Fuller, who not only has to use that blazing speed, but he can't afford to be bobbling balls?
No.
And I think that's one of those vulnerable areas that Belichick will attack and say, beat me with that, not with the proven guys that I know that you have that can do some things. And then defensively, I think regardless of who does it, and we all know what your prediction was, but regardless if it's JJ or Will Fork or Clowney or, you know, Merciless, whoever, they've got to disrupt the Patriots offense with a pass rush and they got to get in the backfield.
They got to. That's the only way outside of the coverages. The only way to get this kid rattled, because I don't think if Bill Belichick didn't think highly of this kid, of Jacoby Brissett, I can't see him having him, one, on his team, two, letting him start a game for him. So you got to bring pressure. If you can't get pressure with your four-man rush, with your five-man rush, as far as when you're in the 3-4 and you got to shoot out two outside linebackers, then you have to be able to manufacture the pressure with the zone blitzes, with the dog ones, with the just everything you have in your repertoire as far as a defense. You have to make sure you open up the playbook to get this guy off his spot to create problems. Because if he has the regular manufactured plays of the inside-outside zone, play-action pass, bootlegs, to get him outside of the pocket to be able to create him some space, I think this kid can be very successful. When he's not successful, it'll be when you move him off the spot in the pocket, kind of like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's pocket presence is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But when you move him off his spot and you get his feet dancing a whole lot, his passer rating and his QBR goes down, just like Peyton Manning's on used to back in the day. It's the same concept with all quarterbacks, but especially for these young guys.
So the one thing that people are kind of overlooking here is not that he's the quarterback whisperer, but Belichick has a way, as you said, of being able to identify talent, particularly in the college ranks, and then developing them to be the perfect system guy
for him
in the way they play. And you look no farther than Jimmy Garoppolo because of the fact, forget Matt Castles, forget Tom Brady, who was just a crapshoot in the seventh round that turned out to be phenomenal.
No, he wasn't a crapshoot.
But there's no way in the seventh round you thought that this was going to be the guy that's going to turn out to be the Tom Brady.
I knew Tom Brady was a great player because I'm a Michigan. Don't get me started on Tom Brady. I'm a Michigan fan.
I am getting you started, but I'm not trying to stir it up.
No,
in a negative,
I'm just saying,
you can tell me a seventh round pick is going to be one of the greatest of all time.
He's a sixth round pick.
And he was seventh.
I think he was a sixth round.
We'll
pick.
We'll check it.
Okay, go ahead. But to me, Tom Brady was highly underrated going into the draft. Tom Brady, everything he did was win. Everything he did was persevere when he had to go against Drew Hinton.
Well, okay, but
yeah, he's a six-round pick. Exactly. 190 what? A 160 what?
Why am I not hearing Nick?
But everything. So,
but again, you can't tell me.
199.
Yeah, 199. Yeah.
And what is that? That is sixth round?
Sixth round.
Yeah, sixth round.
Okay, I thought it was seven.
Sixth round, pick 199.
All right. So regardless of that, you cannot tell me, as much as you're a Michigan guy, or you can say you saw this, man, or you saw that, you didn't see him being
there's no way there's no way to think that you would have thought that this guy would have won as many titles as he won. But if you go back, I literally watched Tom Brady from the time he stepped foot at Michigan to the time he left Michigan after he beat Alabama in the Orange Bowl. And there was nothing that showed me that Tom Brady was not going to be great when he got to the NFL. Nothing. The fact that guys like Spurgeon win and the rest of them went before Tom Brady was absolutely ludicrous, was dumbfounding to me. And I remember watching that draft and thinking to myself, why is Tom Brady not drafted yet? That is the biggest shame I've ever seen in my life, because of what the guy did nothing but win, and he played for Coach Carr, and he was a smart guy. And yeah, he had weapons in Dave Terrell. Yeah, he had weapons in Dave Terrell and Anthony Thomas and the tackles that he had playing for him at the time, Mo Williams, the offensive line. Yeah, of course he had weapons. On the defensive side of the ball, he had Dehani Jones. He had Rob Renus. He had all those guys that all those big-time players. But this guy—
I just don't know how you can say that a guy who's drafted 199th was going to be Hall of Fame caliber.
There's nothing in my mind that told me Tom Brady wouldn't be great.
Okay, so with that being said, the fact of the matter is that Jimmy Garoppolo, as people started to catch on to before the draft, was a guy that a lot of people, when you really kind of drill down, had NFL starting quarterback talent.
Yes.
Jacoby Brissett's the same guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, and people don't realize this. They think he's, you know, just because, you know, he's kind of like the third string quarterback and he was added late, everybody thinking, well, he's not good, you know, because we know when the Texans draft the quarterbacks in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, they're serviceable backups at best. There's a lot of people on prior to draft day and on draft day that said, this is a guy that has NFL starting quarterback talent, and that he should be and will be someday a starting quarterback in the NFL. So it's not like he's just chopped liver.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, before North Carolina State had kind of, I don't want to call it a meltdown, but they started losing games, mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett was a Heisman Trophy candidate before his last year of school.
That's what people don't realize that.
He was more than serviceable. He was more than just a guy. He wasn't a Jag. He was the guy. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was a guy who everybody said, if Jacoby Brissett plays the way where he's capable of playing, if the rest of the team rallies around him as well, these guys could make a push for with Florida State of the ACC. These guys could make a push of can this guy win a Heisman Trophy from NC State? And I always thought, no. I said, if Phillip Rivers didn't win a Heisman Trophy, Jacoby Brissett's not going to win a Heisman Trophy out of NC State. But, I mean, everything he's done has been phenomenal. To call Belichick the QB whisperer, I don't know if I would call him that, but I would say his draft people and the coaches he has around him. Like you mentioned yesterday, the fact that you have Josh McDaniels, a former head coach, as your quarterback coach, your offensive coordinator,
right,
to me that's a big deal. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy who is he struck out with Tim Tebow, but I don't know how much if Tim Tebow was really his guy.
Seven picks from a seventh round pick.
But he still was a sixth rounder.
That's right. You got it right. I got it wrong. That's all right. We'll see what your boy does tonight before we call this thing an even Steven. Anybody else that you want to discover in like the seventh or eighth rounds that you're going to tell me is going to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, I mean, Hall of Famer? No, but I mean, I just thought I never knew. Hall of Fame is such a big statement. I just knew he'd be great.
You know what I'm getting you for Christmas? I already know.
What is that?
Stopwatch.
Stopwatch, why?
Yeah, and a remote control, because that way you're going to be a scout. You're just going to start picking greatness campus.
I've had the opportunities.
Well, it's time to seize the moment, my friend. But guess what? For now, your opportunity is right where you belong.
Exactly, right here with you.
That's absolutely right. And let's not also forget the 202nd pick in that draft was Todd Husak, a quarterback out of Stanford. Who? Husak.
Todd.
There you have it. One segment left. ESPN 97.5. Let's go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
right before the big games tonight. A big trade. And it doesn't involve any of the winning teams in Houston, Texas right now. It doesn't involve the Astros. It doesn't involve the Houston Texans. Houston Rockets have sent Michael B-Easy Mike Beasley to the Brew City Milwaukee Bucks.
He gone.
For Tyler Ennis.
That's not a good trade, though. Absolutely we already discussed not. It. It's not a good trade.
We've discussed it. DK. By the way, we got to make the announcement too. DK, hold one sec. My man Nick Sciarra's personal friend, Adam Rank, who he swore by is going to be a great guest that's going to give us insight and information leading into the game, has blown us off because he said he had to do a hit for NFL Network.
Yeah.
We don't like the big blow, but we might give him another chance at another time, but unfortunately he will not be able to join us, so he'll have to stick with us. DK, that means all the pressure's on you to make it even better and bring something to the show. You have a question for Travis. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Travis, big fan of yours, man. I got a question as during the draft, if Dak Prescott wasn't available, the Cowboys were going to draft Kobe Bissett. I noticed that. And another thing, when not Mary McFadden get back, where he going to play? You know, I don't know. You know, with Zeke and you got Morris, you think the Cowboys should trade McFadden to get another defensive lineman?
No, I think they
help out with this pass rush.
No, and I appreciate you for calling, man. But I think they're gonna keep him. They're gonna keep him on the team. They're gonna allow him to be that third back. I think you need a guy like that, a big bruiser who's just about the yards. I think right now with Zeke not really. I mean, yes, he's played pretty decent as far as when you look at the yards, but I mean he's not a guy who's been giving you what you want right now per se. They benched him last game with the two fumbles. I think you need a guy like McFadden to come back and to be a leader by example on the field to kind of give this young guy a little bit more of a learning curve to allow him to really adapt to the game.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. And again, thanks for the call, DK. We appreciate it. And don't be a stranger. Good question, even though it's Cowboy centric. But you know, at this point, I don't think that one move is going to help their defense.
No,
I mean that team. As much as everybody's been scrutinizing the quarterback position, that team's biggest area of weakness is anything and everything that starts with D.
Yeah.
I mean, they got problems all over the defense, and that's what's going to be the biggest Cowboy killer this year. Regardless of what they do offensively, they have enough weapons because of that offensive line, because they have Dez on the outside, because they've got more Cole Beasley can play. They got, as you mentioned, two and possibly three solid tailbacks.
Yep.
Right? So the quarterback, as long as he's a game manager, could make that team a playoff team. But where they're going to fall short is their blaring weaknesses on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, no question. I think what happened with their D-line last year and with all the suspensions, with your boy losing his mind, Greg Hardy losing his mind.
Why is he my boy?
I'm just speaking on this.
Yeah, it's not my boy.
I just, you know, when it takes me a second because of concussions to remember names, mm-hmm. I just throw him on as your boy just to kind of give me an extra second so I don't say and you know and use those filler words that I know I shouldn't be using on the radio. So that's why I said your boy. So I apologize.
Nick, he's making progress daily. You don't have
he's
to keep your hand.
He's ad-libbing like a broadcaster.
You don't have
giving
to keep the itchy
time.
Trigger finger on the panic button yeah, as much.
See?
I got you.
You know, trust me, because if you knew me, you do know me off there.
Yeah.
And the words that come out of my mouth.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so.
You and my wife could have a spirited conversation. That's all I'm saying.
I'm actually pretty proud of myself when I get on the radio when I don't use all that other stuff. So, okay. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. I think the fact is that Greg Hardy, you know, did what he did last year, and they weren't able to bring him back. I think it's hurt them. Everybody says, "Oh, well, he didn't do much." Yeah, he did. He brought an attitude to the defense. He also bought. He also bought some plays at times. But I think with the fact that you get a guy like Randy Gregory, who was a draft pick of yours that you haven't got any snaps out of for the most part. When you get a guy like Rolando McClain
from Alabama,
who he's been in and out of trouble.
Well, they say can't do wrong, right?
Yeah, he can't get right. You know what I mean? That's exactly who he is. Can't get right. Tell him about the gun line, boss. You know, he's a guy who you need out there as far as on your defense, and he's not there right now, and didn't even show up to camp to at least get some work in before he served his suspension. When you look at up and down Claiborne with his up and down career as far as at the corner position, you say this team needs to draft their defensive side of the ball like they did on the offense. When you look back at, yeah, they weren't going to Super Bowls or anything, but you look back at when they had DeMarcus Ware, and they had a guy in Jay Ratliff, where they got in the seventh round out of Auburn, who was a perennial Pro Bowler for them. They had guys that were, you know, Roy Williams, who, yeah, he couldn't cover anything as far as in the passing game, but he was a perennial Pro Bowl as far as his run support and things that he did in the safety. They need to draft like that again. I think they took for granted.
We know how important the draft is in this town and how scrutinized it is, but it is more so than ever before. And if you don't get anything out of your third, fourth, fifth, sixth round guys, and they're not at least special teamers and backups, you're not doing your draft right.
Yeah.
And that's something that they got to focus on. But by the way, their general manager's their owner, and that doesn't help.
It's been long overdue for Jerry to step down, but it's kind of hard when you say,
hey, when you're signing the checks, you want to do whatever you want.
You know what I mean? But I don't see, and the problem is he also played football, so he feels like he has an upper hand on all of them. I mean, you don't see Jerry Richardson is the only guy who played in the NFL that is actual owner. And he's not the general manager of his team. He hires somebody to do that because he knows somebody's better qualified to get that done.
Enough of the talk, because I'm going to break out in hives and probably have to go throw up if we do any more. But we've gotten our Cowboy talk out of the way. Now it comes down to the game tonight, and I want predictions. You don't have to be long about it, but because we're running short on time. But Nick, why don't you start us? How do you see your hometown Texans tonight?
I picked the Patriots last year, but I'm not doing it twice in a row. So I'm picking the Texans, man. Hopefully, if Belichick really does decide to double and triple DeAndre Hopkins like he did last year, Will Fuller can make some magic and do some things offensively. So I'm just hoping the Texans pull this away.
That really sounded emphatic. Travis, you?
I got the Texans 17-14.
Tight game.
Tight game. Very tight game. Comes down to a field goal at the end. Nick Novak hitting about a 30-yarder.
Okay. I'm torn, man. I really am. And I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to be as objective as possible, but I really believe that the Texans should win this game.
Yeah,
and I really believe, for all that we've said about like a game that is like a benchmark, I don't care who plays for New England. It's getting over the hump. It's like beating Kansas City, only 100 times bigger for them, because they have to be able to beat a team like this. It's like the Astros and the Rangers. I want to say Texans. I think that Belichick schemes well enough that it's going to be a close game. I'm going to say 21-17 Texans, and I'm not overly confident in that, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a tight game. I agree with you. It's going to be a ball control game. I think turnovers are going to end up being the key in the entire game. If Brock throws some picks, they're in trouble. If he manages the game, because you know the other guy's going to try to manage the game, but if he can manage the game and they can find a way to get a couple plays with their outside guys, 21-17 Texans.
I agree. I agree that it's going to be a tight game, and I agree you got to – it's – but for the Texans, this is not just a get-over-the-hump game. This is a game to prove that when you got a wounded dog, you got to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now the Patriots are wounded. You know what I mean? And don't – you know, you either put him down or guess what? That dog going to get a little energy and fight back, and it's going to end up biting you in the behind. So, I mean
– you better hope it's that B-word.
Yeah, you know, so in my opinion – this game is going to tell us a lot about what the Texans are and if they are what we thought they were.
There you have it. Thanks, Dennis Green, for joining us, and you'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be in the huddle tomorrow, so to speak, because I think we're going to have offense and defense in the huddle. Keenan McCardle should join us after his lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink at the NRG, and he will have taped and watched the Texans game. Trav and I will be watching it and also watching the Astros and probably tweeting and contacting each other throughout the game. We hope you join us as well. Feel free to talk to us on Twitter all day, every day, at Pac-Man Joel, at TrapJ99, and if you really must reach Nick, it's at No Hit Nick. We're here for you. Welcome to our living room. We're here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. It's a pleasure always talking sports and entertainment with you. Let's hope the Texans get a W. We'll talk to you tomorrow.